Carrot brought himself to attention like a barn being raised, and stared straight ahead with a ferocious expression of acute obedience. "Well done, that man," said the patrician thoughtfully, as Carrot strode stiffly away. "Carry on, Captain, and do come down heavily on any silly rumours about dragons, right?" "Yes, sir," said Captain Vimes. "Good man." The coach rattled off, the bodyguard running alongside. Behind him, Captain Vimes was only vaguely aware of the sergeant yelling at the retreating Carrot to stop. He was thinking. He looked at the prints in the mud. He used his regulation pike, which he knew was exactly 7 feet long, to measure their size and the distance between them. He whistled under his breath. Then, with considerable caution, he followed the alley around the corner. It led to a small padlocked and dirt-encrusted door in the back of a timber warehouse. There was something very wrong, he thought. The prints came out of the alley, but they don't go in. And we don't often get any wading birds in the Ark, mainly because the pollution would eat their legs away, and anyway it's easier for them to walk on the surface. He looked up. A myriad washing line criss-crossed the narrow rectangle of the sky as efficiently as a net. So he thought, something big and fiery came out of this alley, but didn't come into it. And the patrician is very worried about it. I've been told to forget about it. He noticed something else at the side of the alley, and bent down and picked up a fresh, empty peanut shell. He tossed it from hand to hand, staring at nothing. Right now he needed a drink, but perhaps it ought to wait. The librarian knuckled his way urgently along the dark aisles between the slumbering bookshelves. The rooftops of the city belonged to him. Oh, assassins and thieves might make use of them, but he'd long ago found the forest of chimneys, buttresses, gargoyles and weather vanes a convenient and somehow comforting alternative to the streets. At least up until now. It had seemed amusing and instructive to follow the watch into the shades, an urban jungle which held no fears for a 300-pound ape. But now the nightmare he had seen while brachiating across a dark alley would, if he had been human, have made him doubt the evidence of his own eyes. As an ape, he had no doubts whatsoever about his eyes and believed them all the time. Right now he wanted to concentrate them urgently on a book that might hold a clue. It was in a section no one bothered with much these days. The books in there were not really magical. Dust lay accusingly on the floor. Dust with footprints in it. "Ooh," said the librarian in the warm gloom. He proceeded cautiously now, realizing with a sense of inevitability that the footprints seemed to have the same destination in mind as he did. He turned a corner, and there it was. The section, the bookcase, the shelf, the gap. There are many horrible sights in the multiverse. Somehow, though, to a soul attuned to the subtle rhythms of a library, there are few worse sights than a hole where a book ought to be. Someone had stolen a book. In the privacy of the oblong office, his personal sanctum, the patrician paced up and down. He was dictating a stream of instructions. "And send some men to paint that wall," he finished. Lupine once raised an eyebrow. "Is that wise, sir?" he said. "You don't think a frieze of ghastly shadows will cause comment and speculation?" said the patrician sourly.
"Not as much as fresh paint in the shades," said Wants, evenly.
The patrician hesitated a moment. "Good point," he snapped. "Have some men demolish it." He reached the end of the room, spun on his heel, and stalked up it again. Dragons. As if there were not enough important, enough real things to take up his time.
"Do you believe in dragons?" he said.
Wants shook his head.
"They are impossible, sir."
"So I've heard," said Lord Vetinari. He reached the opposite wall, turned.
"Would you like me to investigate further?" said Wants.
"Yes, do so."
"And I shall ensure the watch take great care," said Wants.
The patrician stopped his pacing.
"The watch, the watch. My dear chap, the watch are a bunch of incompetence commanded by a drunkard. It's taken me years to achieve it. The last thing we need to concern ourselves with is the watch."
He thought for a moment. "Ever seen a dragon, once? One of the big ones, I mean?"
"They're impossible, you said."
"They're just legend, really. Superstition," said Once.
"Hmm," said the patrician. "And the thing about legends, of course, is that they are legendary.
Exactly, sir.
Even so, the patrician paused and stared at once for some time. Oh, well, he said, sort it out. I'm not having any of this dragon business. It's the type of thing that makes people restless. Put a stop to it.
When he was alone, he stood and looked out gloomily over the Twin City. It was drizzling again.
Ankh-Morpork, brawling city of 100,000 souls. And as the patrician privately observed, 10 times that number of actual people. The fresh rain glistened on the panorama of towers and rooftops, all unaware of the teeming, rancorous world it was dropping into. Luckier rain fell on upland sheep, or whispered gently over forests, or pattered somewhat incestuously into the sea. Rain that fell on Ankh-Morpork, though, was rain that was in trouble. They did terrible things to water in Ankh-Morpork. Being drunk was only the start of its problems. The patrician liked to feel that he was looking out over a city that worked. Not a beautiful city, or a renowned city, or a well-drained city, and certainly not an architecturally favoured city. Even its most enthusiastic citizens would agree that from a high point of vantage, Ankh-Morpork looked as though someone had tried to achieve in stone and wood an effect normally associated with the pavements outside all-night takeaway.